What's up, everyone? My name's Nick.
And I'm Em.
And welcome into the Ominous Archives. All right, Em. I think for this week, I don't got much of anything to go off of.
Yeah, I don't have much of anything this week, which is so nice to hear, honestly.
Because right? After last week, normally we record on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Last week we recorded on a Friday, and right after that, I lost my voice completely.
Completely. I got a text literally, what was it, Saturday, that you had no voice.
I sounded like the froggy kid from Little Rascals.
I love Little Rascals.
Such a good movie.
Such a good one.
Wanted to give a shout out to Stacy and Mark and Matt. They were our three winners from our last two giveaways. We're typically a week behind, so if you win, you're gonna hear it on the following week. That's just how it kind of works out for us. But anyway, I don't have anything else than that, so let's dive into episode 16. This one's a fairly well-known cryptid if you're from this area, especially because it's in the Pine Barrens.
I wonder what we're doing,
right? I'm sure a lot of people are wondering. So the Jersey Devil has been around for a really long time. I mean, as long as I can remember.
Yeah, the Jersey Devil has been in my life for as long as I can remember because I had you and all the rest of my cousins to scare me with it when I was a child.
Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing stories ever since we've gone down to the campground.
Yeah.
There have been stories.
And that's as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, probably even before then.
Yeah.
I think even sixth grade. Yeah, we had a sixth grade camping trip, and there were Jersey Devil stories there. And I don't even know if that was in Jersey. I'm pretty sure it was. I don't know. Now, the Pine Barrens are huge. They do cover like 1.1 million acres of woodland in like southern Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's about like 22% of that state.
Yeah. And Jersey's big.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, in the grand scheme of things, that's a lot of land.
Yeah, that is a lot of land. It's got these rare pygmy patch pines with and like some other plant species, but that was something I didn't hear in a lot of the other research or podcasts that I listened to about the Pine Barrens. I saw it was kind of a cool thing to include. But they also, and I had no idea about this, they actually rely on fire to help them reproduce.
Interesting.
So, like, as bad as, like, wildfires are and not being an environmentalist, I guess it would be, you know? Not knowing. You know, you just think fires, that's bad, but it actually helps.
Just assume bad.
Yeah, it actually helps these guys reproduce.
Huh.
It also apparently has some of the purest water.
Huh.
Yeah, I learned that. I had no idea about that.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's like a tea color, but apparently it's like some of the most pure water.
See, that throws me off. What do you mean it's like a tea color, but it's pure water?
Because of the pine needles all soaking in it and everything. Yeah.
Makes sense, actually.
Yep, so let's just get into the legend
rundown
of the devil.
Why not?
There are a bunch of stories on how the Jersey Devil came about. I'm going to stick with my favorite, or the one I feel is like the best.
Yeah.
Even this one has a few different origins, but I'm going to go back a little bit and kind of give you some background on like the family first, and then we'll kind of get to where the legend starts. So the Jersey Devil all starts with the Lees family, who are still in New Jersey. At least descendants of that family are still there. And it starts all the way back in 1677 when Daniel Leeds actually immigrated to New Jersey.
16.
Yeah, we're way back. And 10 years later, he started publishing almanacs. In these, he kind of addressed readers like more personally, and it's kind of what built his popularity on it.
All
and
right.
Why people started buying his almanacs, because of how personable it felt, and like it felt like he was talking to you. But one of the problems was he was a Quaker, and some other Quakers didn't agree with Daniel's publishings, and they started to say that they were like very pagan, using terms like March, which referred to like the Roman god of war. So they kind of were just like, nah, we're not
rocking.
We don't. Yeah, we don't agree with this. We don't like the fact you're talking about the stars and things like this. Like, so he did try to mend things by making a public apology, and it still didn't help the fact that the almanacs got labeled as evil and satanic. So, you know, he tried, didn't work. The Quakers still said no. We do have Archie down here today. If you couldn't tell, he's here.
He is in
making,
the archives.
Making all his noises. Around the same time as like all this was going on, Daniel got some land in Great Egg Harbor near the edge of the Mullica River. And he kind of did this to put some distance between him and the Quakers because things were just not going well. And as the time went on, it kind of got passed down through the family and everything. It's now called Leeds Point. So it's, you know, still a prominent thing in the area. Now, Daniel's son, Titan, took over the almanac business and actually ended up feuding with one of the founding fathers of the United States. Can you guess? Any guesses, Em?
Mr. Ben?
Ben Franklin.
Mr. Benny?
Yep. So him and Ben, it was a feud, but it kind of, it was more of a thing, like a tizzy.
Yeah.
Like they weren't really, I'm like, it was a tizzy. What word can we use for this? A tizzy sounds right. good. I don't know. From all the research I was like gathering out of it, it was, they were going back and forth at each other, but it was like a small thing, it seemed like, not yeah. a big thing, but they were still taking shots. Like shots were fired.
Shots were being fired.
Yeah. So Ben Franklin was using the Poor Richard, and in his Poor Richard almanac, he said that Titan would die in October of 1773. And in case anybody's wondering, that did not happen.
Okay, word. So he's yeah. not a prophet.
But
good to know.
Ben kept playing along with it, saying that it was Titan's ghosts who were writing the almanacs now. And it was proven, though, that Titan died in 1738. So not long after, but he
that's
died.
Actually kind of funny. Ben is, he's like delusional. I love yeah. that.
I heard somewhere, too, that apparently they found like a kid's skeleton or something like that under his house.
What the hell?
And it wasn't like, it wasn't tied to him.
Right.
It was like, he got the house.
What
and the then
heck?
They found like something like that. Wild.
Wild.
You could dive into Ben Franklin if you want to. He was a crazy dude anyway. Now I know at this point we haven't talked about the Jersey Devil itself yet. So we're gonna get there. I'm sure we kind of lost some of you. For those of you that we haven't, just hang tight. We're getting there.
I'm having a great time.
When I was checking out the Jersey Devil and like the family background, it kind of confused the crap out of me because of all the different family members and all this and who was married to who and whatnot. It ends up, so Daniel is married to Dorothy and they had six kids. Mary, Felix, Philo, and Titan, and Japhet.
What names? Wow.
Right? So we know Titan took over the family business, didn't find much more on the other kids, but there was then Japhet. Japhet married Deborah, and together they had 12 children.
Wow.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Seemed that way to Deborah, too.
Yeah.
They weren't wealthy, so they were kind of like struggling, and having 12 kids is a lot. And back then, it kind of makes sense because kids didn't really grow up, you know. You lose kids a lot more back then than you do now.
Right, which is crazy.
Yeah, so you pretty much had kids. They just so happened to have 12.
Yeah.
And then she found out she was pregnant with a 13th child. Mm. Now,
13.
A little thing.
Wait a minute. Yeah. 13, that's the unlucky number, isn't
right?
it?
It said, though, that Deborah was practicing witchcraft.
A witch!
Which kind of ties into things. And everything kind of was normal with the pregnancy. The only thing there was is that Deborah wasn't thrilled about having a 13th child. And as the legend says, Mrs. Leeds, who we're going to call Deborah, well, who I am in my way of putting things together is Deborah. She apparently says, "Let this child be the devil." Now, everything goes well. We get to the birth. That's normal, and the child is born. Now, it said when the baby came out, he had blue eyes and, like, light hair. So we'll say blondish hair. And soon after, things started to shift with the child. He started to grow legs of a horse. Wings sprouted out of his back. His head then turned, like, elongated.
Nope.
And turned into a horse's head.
What do you mean?
And his eyes went from blue to, like, a yellow. And in the dark, they would glow red.
No.
His arms then shrunk into claws. Which I'm not sure how baby arms shrink much more, but it says they shrunk to claws. And at this point, it said that he heard a room from the noise. He heard a noise from the other room and ended up going into that room and killing his father and some of his siblings that were cowering in the corner. He then kills his mother, climbs out the chimney, and voila. The Jersey Devil is born.
Damn.
So there's a bunch of variations to that. I've seen where he doesn't kill anybody. He just climbs out the chimney. I've seen he kills everybody and then bursts through the roof.
Oh, shit.
He came out looking like the devil.
Mm. So somewhere we got mixed up in translation.
Somewhere
we're talking,
things got
so
all screwy.
Long. That's what happens with these cryptids. Like, yep. I feel like you got to give like every version of the story because just in case it gets like mixed up.
And then it wasn't a Mrs. Leeds. Now I kept saying Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk legend, it's going to be Mrs. Leeds or a Mrs. Stabad. I only heard that name once, hence why I can't remember it.
Right.
But like I said, there's so many versions of where the Jersey Devil came from. There were some that he's just a monster that's always been in the forest.
Yeah, but
some
I like the backstory better. I feel like it's more interesting.
Yeah. Some even say that he's a, I want to say a pterodactyl. That's the only way I could think of it. But they were calling
dinosaur?
Like he's a dinosaur. Like, he's a long-lost dinosaur that just
didn't go extinct.
Yeah, he never went extinct.
He missed
he's
the memo.
Just there. Yeah. I think they're all fun. They're all exciting. I love the different legends and stuff. I
that
like that
is absolutely
one the best.
Wild. If my child started growing claws and glowing red eyes, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, especially...
Well, don't
in her situation when I already didn't want a 13th kid, and now this is what I'm met with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, don't say let this child be the devil. And
this is true. She did put a curse on herself, kind of.
Yeah, she did it. She kind of did it to herself. Yeah, but
those witches didn't know how powerful they were back then. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's other, like, stories, too, where nothing happened, and then he would come back every year and sit on their fence. And then one year, she finally shooed him away, and that's when he kind of, I guess, went goofy. But, yeah, like, if you dive into, you can just get lost in all of the legend and everything. Thanks, Arch. Thanks for your opinion. Why don't we get into the sightings? Because this is, the sightings to me are what has to be the proof where it's like, it's out there.
Something.
We may not have seen it. You may not, but there's no way it's not something. Like, there's something out there.
Right.
In the 18th and 19th centuries, the Jersey Devil was spotted sporadically throughout the Pine Barrens region. He would frighten local residents and any of those who were brave enough to traverse the undeveloped parts of the southern Jersey would, you know, come across them. They would hear unearthly wails. They were often reported emanating from the dark forest and the swampy bogs. The slaughter of domestic animals was always, like, that was happening. So they would hear, like, these moans, like, I guess a demonic style kind of moan.
Yeah.
And they would find their chickens, their goats slaughtered, sometimes their regular old, like, house animals just slaughtered. And they, so, like, that went on for a little while. And while this stuff was going on, they ended up getting a priest to exorcise the area. And I believe he did that in 1707. And this might be jumping around a little bit, but in 1707, they had a priest exorcise the area, stating the Jersey Devil cannot see or be around humans for the next 100 years.
Oh.
And apparently everything kind of went quiet.
That's
and then in,
crazy.
Like, 1807, it like, on the dot, 1807, boop, he started popping back up
see,
again.
See, that's wild.
Yeah. Now, the most infamous of the incidents occurred during the week of January 16th through the 23rd in 1909. Early in the week, reports started emerging from all across the Delaware Valley that strange tracks were being found in the snow. And these went, they were footprints. They went over fences, under fences, through fields, through backyards, across rooftops of houses. And it wasn't just in, like, the Pine Barrens. It was in the cities of Camden, Philadelphia, and because of this, instantly panic started to spread. So as the panic spread and fear grew, intrigue also grew, and it kind of got worse when the police set out the bloodhounds to try and track this thing down, and they refused to follow the track.
The dogs?
Yep. They were like, nope, not
See,
doing it.
And dogs, no. Dogs are smart-ass animals. Like,
well, look at Kobe right here.
I know.
Right? He's got the life. And at that point, because the dogs were like, no, the schools, they closed some schools in the area.
Dang. It was like that works. Big of a deal.
Yeah, mills in the Pine Barrens closed down because workers refused to leave their homes to travel through the woods to get there. So it was like mass panic, kind of.
Mass Everybody hysteria.
Was, yeah, there you go. Mass hysteria. Eyewitnesses spotted the beast in Camden. And in Bristol, Pennsylvania. In, wait, ugh.
Now, for a second, I thought you said I witnessed, not I witnesses. And well, I was like, Nick, you saw this devil, you didn't lead with that?
I witnessed. Yeah, I saw it. No. Eyewitnesses spotted it in Camden and in Bristol, Pennsylvania. In both cases, the police fired on it, didn't manage to bring it down. And then a few days later, it reappeared in Camden. And late at night, it attacked a meeting of a social club before it flew away.
Perfect.
And then earlier in that day, it apparently in Haddon Heights terrorized a trolley car full of passengers before flying away.
I used to do theater in Haddon Heights.
Well, you were in...
I was in Jersey Devil territory.
Yeah. I mean, you're in Jersey Devil territory practically every time you go to the beach.
Right, you're surrounded by the Pine Barrens.
Yeah, he's around. And he's not just in Jersey. He's from the Pennsylvania. He's gone as far as New York.
He's been around, man.
He gets around.
He's not leaving his neighboring states, though.
No, not leaving the Delaware Valley. do you consider New York Delaware Valley?
No.
Well, then he's left the Delaware Valley. I don't know.
Traitor.
You'd think I'd know these things from living in this area so long, but I am not good with geography.
Geology. Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy. It has been a day.
It's been a week.
Yeah, it's been a week. That is more accurate. Now let's get back into it. So the witnesses claimed that it looked like a large flying kangaroo, and then another trolley full of people saw it in Burlington when it scurried across the tracks in front of their car.
Well, I don't even know what I would do.
It appeared in West Collingswood on the rooftop of a house, and it was described as an ostrich-like creature.
Oh.
The firemen turned to use their hose to spray it, but it attacked them and flew away.
It attacked them.
Mm-hmm. The entire week, people were reporting that their livestock, particularly their chickens, were being slaughtered.
No, not the chickens.
It's always the chickens. It's always the chickens. The cows are too big to bring down.
True.
Goats have horns. I mean, I guess cows have horns. Like, bulls have horns, but still. And chickens are just chickens. It sounds sad, but... So, that was most... of those reports came from Bridgeton and Millville. It then reappears later in the week in Camden, where a local woman found the beast attempting to eat her dog. She hit it with a broomstick, and it flew away.
Oh, thank God.
With the dog. I'm just kidding.
Shut up, Nick. Not that. That was terrible. Just kidding. With the dog.
No. She hit it with the broomstick, and it dropped the dog and flew away.
I'd beat the shit out of somebody if they tried to hit my...
1,000%.
Not my dogs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not my dogs, not my cats.
I think about it all the time because Kobe will stay downstairs. So I'm like, God forbid, if somebody came into this house and did anything to the Kobe, they wouldn't
leave
this house.
It'd be worse if they did something to your dogs over to you.
Yep. Yeah, they did. They'd have issues. So since that week, there wasn't like another huge spurring, but it definitely has been, you know, it's been talked about. A bunch of newspaper reportings kind of kept escalating everything. During that period, it's rumored that the Philadelphia Zoo posted a $10,000 reward.
Dang.
For the creature's dung.
Okay.
Just making sure you got that.
Word.
It obviously prompted a bunch of hoaxes.
Of course.
And included a kangaroo that people painted, I believe it was green, and glued claws and stuff to it and
You're
artificial
joking.
Wings.
Mm-hmm. No,
not
joking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have much more on that kangaroo. There's a whole like little thing on it.
That poor kangaroo.
That poor kangaroo. Definitely.
Although kangaroos are violent and evil. I'm surprised they didn't like literally
yeah,
get
I'm not sure
punched
how they,
the hell out I, for that.
When I read that, I kind of was also like, that was one
turn.
Like that is one
patient
yeah,
kangaroo.
He was just whatever. He was along for the ride until the paint got on him. But the tale of the devil, like I said earlier, it spread beyond the Pine Barrens. It's embraced by all of New Jersey, even parts of Philadelphia, I would say. We know about it. It may not be very far, like too far all yeah. like globally, but it's very well known for our area.
Yeah, if you live around here, I'm sure you've heard of it.
And New Jersey's leaned into it. They've commercialized it. It is their state demon.
Yes.
It's also the name of their NHL team.
I roll my eyes, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I roll my eyes too. I don't really like them. Being
like
a Flyers fan. But
that's about it.
But I mean, that's
it is kind of sick though that they did play into it like as a whole. Like,
yeah, they
why
leaning
wouldn't
into
you
it.
Make that
yeah.
your mascot, like your name? Yep. Like, it is kind of sick, honestly.
Yeah. So some other sightings are Napoleon's brother, Joseph Bonaparte. He was hunting in his like in the woods near his house in Bordentown, and apparently he heard this like weird cry and was like looking around and couldn't find anything, and then he turned around and was face to face with the Jersey Devil before it just flew away. He went to a, I don't want to say like a local pub, but he went to a place and he was talking to one of his friends about it, and his friends was like, oh, congratulations, you just met the Jersey Devil. Right?
No.
Like, it's just that popular. And then we even have sightings all the way up until 2015.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody's claimed to have a photograph of the Jersey Devil and saw it sprout its wings and fly away. Now, I heard, like, about that one. Apparently, the photograph looks super doctored.
Yeah, of
course. And, like,
AI before it was AI.
Yeah. There's another one of a video that people were just, like, recording the night sky or something, and this dragon, like, flies by. So, somebody literally said... It looked like somebody taped a How to Train Your Dragon to a drone and just flew past the... I've never seen any of these. I was going to try and look them up, but
actually.
I ran out of time. Yeah.
A How to Train Your Dragon on a drone.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jersey's really leaned into this. It's crazy. I didn't see anything or read anything where it hurt a person.
Yeah.
It was always seemed to be animals or, you know, a typical cryptid thing.
Right.
But... You know, the next time you're deciding to cruise down the shore to Atlantic City, you know, you kind of look and looks like there'd be brake lights in front of you, maybe. You might be looking in the eyes of the Jersey Devil.
And that's what you originally got me with. That's how you guys scared me when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It was the headlights. Every time I'd see, like, red headlights, you guys would be like, oh, look, it's the eyes of the Jersey Devil. If you look, you could see him. You could see him in the woods. I'm like a literal kid. I'm like scared shitless. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, there is a report of a lady who's driving down... Route 9. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff occurs on Route 9.
Yeah.
And she apparently, like, is cruising down, stops because she sees something, and it, like, crosses the road in front of her and, like, stops, stares at her, and, like, keeps crossing. And then she apparently drove home and, like, didn't even get out of her car that night. She slept in her car that night because she was so afraid of what she saw.
And you want to know what? She's valid for that. I don't blame her.
I mean, if something weird crosses in front of my...
That happened to my mom once when she was picking me up from work when I was in high school, and she swears, and there was another car that was, like, coming at her at the same time, and they both stopped and, like, let this, like, weird-looking creature cross in front of them. And she literally said, she was like, when me and her in the car, like, passed each other, they, like, both were looking at each other, like, what the hell was that? And she's like, I still don't know what it was to this day. Because she was like, it kind of looked like a fox, but it was bigger than a fox. I don't know. It was crazy. Wow.
Bigger than a fox. I know we were getting picked up, Frankie and I were getting picked up from the Scotty McCreery concert by her sister and her sister's fiance. And they were driving down. And where was that? Was that at the Met? It may have been at the Met.
Mm-hmm.
And they were driving down and they were on 95. I don't know where at on 95, but they were like coming off the exit, like into the city. And this rat apparently like ran out in front of them. And they were like, it is the biggest rat they've ever saw.
It was a New York rat that came up here.
Yeah, it was a New York rat that came on down. It was hysterical. They were just like, it was the biggest rat.
Dude, some of them in New York are literally as big as cats. Like, it's crazy.
Wild. It's crazy. But the cool thing is the Pine Barrens are huge.
Yeah.
And the Jersey Devil isn't the only ghost or urban legend. And if you guys can hear that, that's Kobe. He now wants to chime in. Archie with his squeaks, and now Kobe wants to, I guess, I don't know, whine. He's whining because he's stuck in a corner right now. So he's not the only ghost or urban legend or cryptid that's from this area. There's also said to be a golden-haired girl whose ghost is still mourning the loss of her sailor lover at sea. She, of course, is dressed in white and is sitting by the water's edge. There's also said to be a black dog that is wandering around the beaches and the forest in the area of the Abskin Island and Burgett Bay. So you might just see a little black dog wandering around. I don't know if it's a ghost or not. It just says, I'm assuming it's a ghost.
Just a little black dog. A little ghost phantom, you know, if you will.
It was under the ghosts of the Pine Barrens, so it must be a ghost. But
a ghosted a doggy.
What's a haunted forest without the ghost of a little kid? The Atco ghost is said to be a young boy who was killed by a car when he was chasing his basketball onto Burnt Mill Road. It's said that you can see him when driving on the road in the middle of the night. Of course, you have to shut off your lights and your engine, get out of your car, walk away from the spot, or drive the length of the road, turn around, drive back, and then there's a crack in the road that you have to drive to, and you just stop at that point, and then turn all your lights back on.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. We also have the Ghost of the White Stag, which is
very
really
Harry
cool
Potter because, coded.
Yes, very, very.
It's
Harry
a Patronus,
Potter.
If you will.
It is a Patronus kind of thing, because if it shows up, you're apparently in like some kind of danger.
Oh.
And it leads you to safety.
So literally it's a Patronus. Are you kidding
Pretty
me?
Much. In the little story that I kind of have that goes with it is in 1809, there were a group of Quakers who were out on a stormy night and they were all like drinking, you know.
Duh.
So
what else did you have to
They're
do?
Probably, you know, three sheets to the wind,
Love
I think
it.
My mom would say.
That is what my mom would say.
And they started approaching a river, and like right as they were getting ready to fall in, this white stag apparently appeared and like led them all away from it.
Hmm.
So there's that.
So there's a Patronus in New Jersey.
There's a Patronus in the Pine Barrens.
I love it.
The Pine Barren Patronus.
Say that 15 times.
I don't think I can say it once. Then there's also the ghost of Captain Kidd. He's a legendary ghost. He was a pirate that was executed in London, but he decided to haunt the Pine Barrens.
Period.
What makes it so interesting is that he was actually hung twice because his neck wouldn't break.
Oh!
So it didn't break the first time. They
Damn.
Tried again.
Try again.
Yep. Now, it said he is buried with his head still attached to his body, but when you come across Captain Kidd, he's apparently headless.
Nearly headless, Nick. There's a lot of
he's
Harry
fully
Potter.
Headless. He's fully headless, though.
How can you be nearly headless? That's crazy. But, there's a lot of Harry Potter references
now,
here.
It said he comes back to the Pine Barrens because he buried treasure here.
Oh!
Yeah, and
he's a pirate to the end.
He apparently cut off the head of one of his crewmates to have his crewmate's ghost protect the treasure.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Calculated.
Right. What else do we have? There's the ghost of James Still. He was a doctor from the area that was lynched for being a doctor as he was a black man.
Fucking bullshit.
And apparently that was out of the question.
literally, like, makes me so angry.
Yep.
Like,
but it said that he appears when people are lost or injured in the Pine Barrens. So, pretty cool. You know, you get a ghost doctor who could potentially help you. Or you get the Captain Kidd.
Or the dog.
Well, yeah, the dog's wandering the peaches.
Or the stag.
Or the white stag. So, the Pine Barrens are full of things. And
yeah.
They're...
Which I would have never even known that. Like, I mean, obviously, I guess if I would have, like, opened my brain, like, a little bit further, I would have thought about it. But, like...
I knew the Jersey Devil.
Yeah, and then, like, that's it.
Diving into, like, this was me kind of diving into the Pine Barrens some.
Yeah.
So I was looking into them just more because I was thinking for this episode I might do, like, Haunted Forest.
Right.
And then I was like, you can't. It's the Jersey Devil.
It is. So, you gotta give him his flowers.
Yeah, he gets his, this is his thing, even though we mentioned these guys. I just felt like they were honorable mentions. They're there. Yeah. They're there. If you're in Jersey, you might come across them. You have to call. You got to talk about them.
Yeah.
But just always be on the lookout for that winged, horse-headed...
Kind of dinosaur-looking.
His tail's apparently, like, it's a two-parted tail. One other story, too, about him that I just remembered, because this is, you know, we're super organized when we do our episodes.
Duh.
It literally, I was just sitting here, I was like, oh, yeah, there was that one. There was a guy testing cannonballs, and they saw the creature, shot at it with a cannonball, apparently hit its wing, and it just kept flying.
Love. It doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
Yep. So, like I said, if you're ever in Jersey, check out the Pine Barrens in general. This is a place you can go to.
Yeah.
Normally places, you know, we talk about, don't go, you can't go, things like that, but you can go here. It is a cool place to go. There's a bunch of, I guess it's state parks, state forests that you can go and visit. It's just a beautiful area, I think, in general.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All sandy, obviously. But
duh.
I think that wraps me up. I think it's time to get out of here.
That was definitely a good pick. One of us had to do it eventually.
Yeah, I felt it was time.
Yeah.
A little disorganized, but, you know, my week was disorganized, so.
I thought it was fantastic.
It flows. Well, you should. You're the co-host.
I'm biased, but.
If you enjoyed the episode, obviously, please give us a rate, a like. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Listen to it. Wherever you find podcasts, we're on everything pretty much.
Yep.
Our socials?
You can follow us on Instagram at Ominous Archives. X is Ominous Archives. TikTok is also Ominous Archives. And we have a Reddit now.
Oh, yeah.
Ominous Archives.
Yep.
Find us on Reddit.
We're very creative.
Heck yeah.
What if they have a story that they wanted to share? Or just get in touch with us.
Oh, and if you have a story that you want to share, or even if you just want to get in touch with us, you can email us at ominousarchives@gmail.com.
All right, guys. We are getting out of here. See ya.
See ya.